Everybody, my name is Kirsty McGregor. I'm the accountant in residence and founder of the Corporate Finance Network. And today we've got something a little bit different. We've brought in one of our own from Capitalise. We haven't interviewed many of the Capitalise team on purpose. This isn't really what it's there for. But Will, who I'm going to introduce you to shortly, is somebody that I've been working with for a while at Capitalise now, and we get involved in the content writing. And actually, I just find him brilliant to work with. And I'm not just saying this because he's sat here on the other side of the screen looking at me, but I find him brilliant to work with because he is so well informed. He is aware of what's going on in the market for businesses. He researches really well and gives me all research sources. And when he's given me a brief to write to, it's so brilliantly put together that it's not very difficult for me to then create a piece. And he really understands the impact on SMEs. You know, he reads the room, he understands the mood. But he does a lot more than that. He's here really to explain to you a lot about what we do and Capitalise as a tech company, as a website company. We have so many different specialist skills in our team that, you know, it's great because you come across, you learn things that you would never normally have come across in your business life. So I get to see what Will does, and I want to share that with you as the audience now to see, maybe you'll learn a little bit today about the type of role that he has and the way that he goes about his work. So welcome, Will. Thank you for agreeing to do this podcast. I think you were strong-armed a little bit into it, but you were fairly willing, so I hope you're pleased to be on.
Oh, Kirsty, well, thank you very much for that introduction. You can't see my face, but I am blushing. That was very, very kind of you. No, I'm very happy to be here, and I've obviously listened to the podcast, so it's nice, very nice to be invited to be on, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. So let's get into the detail then. Explain to the audience, what is your role at Capitalise then? What are you responsible for?
Who am I? So I'm Will. Lovely to meet everybody virtually through the ether. I'm the digital marketing manager here at Capitalise. So I sit on the marketing team, and basically what that role entails is I look after all of I primarily sit on our small business product. So I am sort of mainly responsible for making sure that we have new users of that product, and that the people who do use it have sufficient kind of information by way of like our digital platforms, that they know kind of what it is that we do, how they can get the most value out of it, and just kind of what problems that it solves for them. So that's a fancy way of basically saying that I look after lead acquisition. So that's all of our kind of online channels, the way that we drive volume there. So it's stuff like your Google ads, Facebook ads, various other things like that. Also a big part of that is our organic work. So that's, I guess, kind of what we're going to be talking about today. But essentially that is the work that the words and the kind of stories that we tell across like our blog and our landing pages that essentially make us more findable on Google. So when you go and search for a problem, you go into Google, that's like a sort of a question-based system. We can try and basically rank for that question competitively against other people who are providing similar forms of information. That's also kind of stuff that I work on, is also like once we've got people in, like once we've acquired new customers, that we then sort of tell stories over principally email, really. And you know, we talk about kind of new features that we've updated, new content that we've written, kind of a lot of the stuff that you and I have worked on, Kirsty, that goes out through that channel. And really kind of nurture our audience so that they know exactly what we do. And I've been here for about a year and sort of just under 18 months now. And it's a good place to work.
And I can tell you that he's very successful at his job. He's always smashing the targets every quarter. And, you know, he really knows his stuff. And just to explain, if anyone in our audience is from the accountancy side, that we do work direct with businesses as well, as you know. But what we do is we put our product out to businesses first. We refine it. We watch it evolve. We make sure it's really sharp and really working well. And then we put it into the accountant. So it's really important that the businesses, you know, show us what they think of the product, and we need to have the volume going through to really make sure that we've got a great product then that we then trust with the accountants and their clients, you know, because it's obviously quite a special relationship that you have. So how do you decide then? You talked about organic content then. You know, you've got to kind of predict what questions people are asking, I guess, on the search engines. And it is predominantly Google, let's face it. You know, so what do you have to do in your day-to-day role to make sure that you are hitting the nail on the head and finding these topics?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, it's principally Google. I mean, they're kind of about, you know, give or take about 75% of global search traffic comes through Google. Slightly off topic, but being more of a player there. And, you know, you may have seen in the news some kind of updates that Microsoft have really invested into. I mean, ChatGPT is the you know, OpenAI, that whole thing is their big flagship sort of new investment. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see them as a bigger player in the future. But we do get traffic through Bing and sort of, you know, DuckDuckGo, you know, Ecosia, like other kind of smaller search engines. But principally, the way that we go about this is that because it's an intent-based system, as in, you have a question and you input that in kind of whatever way into the search bar. What we know from that then is that you are, you know, a person that's looking for information, for example, on your credit score. You're looking to, you know, download a credit report. You're maybe researching stuff to do with finance. Maybe you're actually looking to apply at that moment. So there's all sorts of different forms of kind of intent there. But essentially, you're putting in what are called keywords. And that's exactly what they sound like. They're just individual words or phrases that are kind of grouped in various different ways. And then what Google does is it basically kind of ranks everything on the internet and says, okay, based on a set of criteria that no one in the world really knows what they are. It's a bit of a black box. So obviously if they told you the secret sauce recipe, then the whole thing would be over. But as best guess and with best practice, it then finds content from all sorts of different sources that it deems to be trustworthy, that it deems to sort of answer the question most exactly, that, you know, have, you know, all sorts of other different kind of things like that, and then it ranks them. So the first page is obviously where you want to be, because, you know, how often do you go onto the second page of Google? I would suspect the answer is not very often. There's quite a nerdy joke within the SEO world, which is like, if you wanted to hide a body, where would you put it? The answer is the second page of Google. Yeah, again, it's quite an in joke among the digital marketing people. But essentially, the way that you can decide what you want to write content around is you build a kind of a map. You map all the different kind of terms that are associated with what your product is, what your kind of service is. And then what the different kinds of intent that there would be to go with that. So, you know, is this somebody that is just researching? Is it just someone that's just having a kind of a never round on the internet? And do they, are they probably looking at loads of other different websites versus, you know, is it someone that's actually got quite a high degree of intent? And, you know, are they looking to sign up for something or buy or purchase something right at that moment? So the way that you do that, you can use all sorts of different digital tools. So we use one called Ahrefs, which is kind of one of the big ones. But, you know, there are other kind of keyword research tools out there, ones like Moz or SEMrush, or, you know, there's loads of others. You know, you can also use other kind of platforms. That obviously Google has a lot of research tools as well. There's things like Google Search Console, which is quite an interesting thing to go on anyway. Actually, you can just basically see what people are searching most generally. So you can go on there and see, like, you know, people are looking for, like, I don't know, Taylor Swift or Kim Kardashian, or, like, you know, kind of big trending things. But it is quite interesting to see big trending sort of topics on there. And then sort of how do we sort of prioritize, like, what we want to write and kind of like what we want to go after? Because obviously you could spend an infinite amount of time optimizing for all these different things. So the kind of the exercise that we do at the moment is we are sort of helped in a lot of ways because the product that we offer is relatively niche, as in it's credit information for the majority of what I work for. It's credit information and kind of funding information, but to businesses. So the sort of the Venn diagram becomes smaller and smaller there. And so kind of within that, I think indicators of intent are a little bit more obvious perhaps about, or a little bit kind of clear about where you can place them within your funnel. Primarily, the way that we rank these and that we go about as research is the stuff that we're doing kind of well at the minute, and how do we kind of optimize that? What are the kind of easy wins? Like, where are the errors that you can update? Like, what sort of other content can we build around that to build what's called domain expertise? You have like a sense of domain expertise, like a domain ranking. It's basically how, you know, much expertise the Google crawler thinks that you have. And then there's like another bucket, which is basically like, we're not on page one yet, but we could be. And so what I mean by that is we've got, you know, we're at about kind of position 12 to about position sort of 25, 30. So we're kind of, we're in the second camp, we're in the second page. What can we do then to really sort of jet us up and put us in that second one? And then there's a third kind of pot of stuff, which is much longer term. So that's like, what are we not doing, but we'd like to kind of be at the table for. So these tend to be a lot more competitive things. So, you know, bigger terms that people, you know, so for example, like if you Google business loan, that is a very competitive space because there's obviously a lot of people that have, you know, huge teams of people that will work on this kind of thing. You're going up against like the Barclays and the sort of the Lloyds and like, you know, the big high street banks, as well as the fintechs and the independent lenders also. But it is still important to do, because, you know, the reality is if you start investing into something like search, you're probably going to, the sort of brutal truth of it is to see proper results off it is going to take about 6 months, really. But then the question is, in a strategy, you know, what can you do before that gives you kind of like a bit of a quicker win? So like, what are the things that are going to give you more of a bump first? So, you know, you can do all sorts of stuff. You can update content that is older. So for example, like an article, I think it was a piece that you and I worked on a while ago, and it was originally published, I think, in like 2017. And what Google really seems to like is you take an older piece of content and you basically kind of make it current. So you make it apply to today. And then that's something that will, you know, is a little hack that can give you a bit of boost of growth. But, you know, like that's kind of that's quite a mechanical answer. Another way that we can think about this is, you know, look, we speak to our customers. So, you know, we hear what our customers are saying. You know, I work a lot with our revenue team and sort of see, you know, what are the conversations they're having on the phone with people, you know, what are the kind of questions that people seem to be at, you know, what correlations can we draw, and let that guide our research also. So it's not just like we're taking kind of edge cases that we hear on the phone, but we're saying like, right, over the last couple of weeks, we seem to have noticed there's a lot of uncertainty around, you know, tax in the new tax year or something kind of simple like that. And then we can kind of drill into that and kind of see, right, well, what terms are actually kind of trending online? Like, how can we kind of format it and package it up and all that kind of stuff? So I think there's sort of two ways that you can look at it there.
And I think, you know, most accountants, and, you know, they're not marketing experts, they're not running websites, they might not even be selling any products online, but still getting themselves on page one for their, you know, accountants in Peterborough or whatever their area is, for example, mm-hmm. is, you know, is really important. And learning how to write content and getting your news pages up to date, putting new content in there will all help, won't it? You know, so, and especially because they're accountants, and most businesses, but especially accountants, have got a ready stream of things to talk about because the tax rules are always changing, the funding market's changing. There's always things that they can talk about that's current, that's new, that they've got an excuse to write a news story about, as well as all the things they do that, you know, like their charity work and their things in the community, mm-hmm. and their awards and new employees. You know, there's so much that accountants can put on their website. And you know, same for businesses, all businesses in all sectors. Even if they're not launching new products every week, there's still things that they can put through their news pages, their social media channels, that all their YouTube, you know, that all boost their organic SEO without even having to pay for it, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. And I think, you know, the other thing which is a real value point, and I would say if there was a firm of advisors that were looking to sort of invest into this, you know, the thing that you have over, you know, a lot of other people that might be speaking into the space, you're the expert. And I think that's, you know, that's what people want. When you're researching online, when you're researching something, you know, if I was to look at a piece of tax information, a piece of credit information, financial advice of any kind, and it was coming from a firm of accountants, obviously I would take that as a good source of truth. But also, you know, given the nature of the work, you will have a lot of connections through your kind of network anyway, by being a firm of kind of client-facing business. So, you know, the opportunity there in a very technical sense is then that's technically more people that are linking into your website. So that's obviously a very, very good thing. One of the sort of tenets of SEO, which is like a real kind of supercharger really for getting onto page one, is a thing called backlinks. This is a thing that a lot of SEOs are kind of, you know, it's like a big part of that is other websites that link to your website. So obviously if you've got a bigger network, you can do that. I did client in another job before here. It was more kind of client facing work. And it was one of the conversations that I had a lot with people that we were working with was, you know, should I invest in it and how long would it take to see results from it? And without kind of, you know, obviously it's entire people's job. So I could really like nerd out on the answer, but like, I think the quickest kind of simplest answer I can give you that isn't just, it depends is, yes, it's absolutely worth investing into, but don't seriously expect to see anything from it for about 3 months. In it, you know, if what you're thinking is, right, I want to do content and I want to get leads out of it, or I want to monetize that in some kind of way, I think that would be incorrect of me to say that anything less than that would be good at that if you're starting from a standing start. But, you know, assuming that you have a functioning business already, you've got, you know, a network that you're existing within, I would assume that, you know, with some kind of best practices, with some kind of basics, and with some kind of, there's a lot of free resources, YouTube, Coursera, which I think is paid for, but it's not too expensive. There's lots of resources online. If you learn a few of the basics, you know, you can update your existing content that you may think is doing well. But then there's a very big difference between you thinking it's doing well and the Google crawler thinking it's doing well. And that's, I think that's kind of the thing that is a common mistake, and people think, oh, it's a really good piece of prose. And they're right, they're correct. It is a good piece of prose to just write. But obviously it's a computer that's reading it. So you have to format it in a certain way. But, you know, there's stuff like that you can do, and you can train your team up, and it's, you know, is it going to get you leads today, tomorrow? No, it's not. But, you know, it's a long-term play. But it is one of those foundational plays that will, you know, it's without being too glib, like it's free money. Like it doesn't cost you anything. It just costs your time. Mm-hmm. And then once you've done it correctly, or you've done it sort of to a level that's good, you know, it can be a driver of growth for the business. So I would say if it sounds interesting, then, you know, it's something that with a relatively low investment, you can start to make some waves in it, but it's incremental gains, I would say.
And I think people got to expect as well that not many accountants get a lead straight through Google without them knowing them already. It's usually a word of mouth referral, you know, or it's a professional or something like that. They've seen them somewhere else. They've seen them at a show. They've seen them some in the newspaper, maybe the regional paper, and so, or online. And so they're coming to a website to check out the credibility, to get a second opinion, to get more information about that business, whether, you know, accountant in this case or any other business. And I think as long as you've got current content on there, you know, if the last thing that you posted was you know, the budget in November, then you've missed the budget by now. You've missed one of the spring statements, so you're not up to date straight away. But also, there's so much more you could have been talking about between then and now, you know. So if the last piece of content you've got is November and we're now in April / May, you need to, you know, just put some more things on there and just get into the habit of sharing it amongst your team. Get a piece a week written at least. You can just drop different news articles in, and if it gets you on the first page of Google, even better. But if nothing else, if a potential client is coming to your website to check you out, if they see you've got current news on there, then that just differentiates you from the other accountants that they might also be looking at. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for all business sectors. Yeah. Listen, and then I guess then if they did want to invest in it even more, then you've got the paid pay-per-click campaigns, you've got the other things that you can actually pay for, the Facebook ads and so on.
Yeah, those are 100% quick wins, but you pay for that. But I think, if you're thinking about, that's maybe like, what can we do this quarter? Mm. What can we do this year / in our 5-year plan, if you're thinking like that as a business?
Yeah.
Like this is a foundation that you can build your house on. And I think like this is the kind of thing that for your brand and for the legitimization of your brand and for that kind of real, if you find a piece of information and it's on the first page of Google, like that's great, that's money. But like if it's on the second page, it's not bad. It just means that it's like, it's fewer people will see it. Maybe they're like, why aren't they on the first page? But if you want to drive people to a specific page for an event, a purchase, like whatever it might be, Google search, Facebook, TikTok is becoming more of a thing within the B2B world. It's not just for the young people anymore.
We need a volunteer to do our TikToks.
I'm dragging my heels a bit on that one, I'll be honest with you. But yeah, like,
I think it's going
to
be you.
I'll get to it, Kyle.
We have to have auditions, maybe.
100%. I think it's Paul. It's not going to be me.
Paul, can you imagine Paul? That'd be hilarious. He doesn't even know what TikTok is. Anyway, Will's keeping his mouth shut. He signs off his wages check every month.
I think he's the face of it. If I get Fit for Business campaign was anything, if he can charm Mr. Motivator like that, I think he can charm the TikTok people.
Oh so my goodness.
I've got support for him.
All right, I'll let him know. Thank you, Will. Hopefully that's helped people understand a bit more about how organic searching and content writing is so important if you're trying to drive traffic to your website or build your profile generally. But I get to ask you the final question. Now, Will kind of knows this is coming because he's listened to our podcast, obviously, as he shares them out to his business community as well, that he knows what this question is going to be. But the question is, as we are the Future Positive podcast, what makes you feel positive about the future, Will? And he's still not got an answer, even though he knew it was coming.
I have got an answer. This is my answer. It's a bit of a run up to it, but what I feel positive about, I think if you read, well, I've been in the news recently about AI, in terms of ChatGPT that I mentioned earlier, like Bard, the new sort of Google version of that, real advances with like large language model data sets for text generation, for kind of authentic text generation. And big thing in my world, because obviously that's like, a lot of people get a little bit worried about that. Content marketers are a bit like, is that my job getting automated? But, I think the more I've used it and the more use cases that I've seen of it, I think it's a great thing camp. And I think why I feel positive about it is that, so I'm getting kicked out of this room, but I'll talk to you about it on the way. The reason I feel positive about it is because I just think the opportunity that you've got there to, to research more, for students to edit things, I think it really just kind of like 10x is the potential that you've got for research, for content delivery, the potential of it is really baffling. I think also just like the positive impact that it's had on people's lives. Like you hear all sorts of use cases of people who've got like specific dietary requirements, being able to kind of like really kind of, jazz up what they're eating kind of every week, right, to people who've kind of negotiated like new leases with their landlord because they've said, can you read this book and then write me an answer to this email kind of based on this. And I don't think it makes people more lazy or stupid or, the kind of criticism of it. I think it just means that, it allows you to just work a lot quicker. And I think the creative ways that people have been using it have just sort of shown that, I think people have been creative with it. And I think they've been, I just think the output of it is just really baffling. And I think where it could take us, I'm potentially leaning towards the camp of, I don't think it's going to mean that the world will be like Terminator. I think it's more hopeful than that. So that's what I'm feeling hopeful for at the moment.
Wow, wasn't expecting that answer, but good answer. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I suppose you're seeing a lot more of this than we are. So, it is fascinating where it's going. So, thank you for that, Will. That wraps up this episode of the podcast. And for those that are new to Capitalize, our vision is to give small businesses and their advisors transparency and control over business finance and their whole balance sheets. We want every business to identify the risks that they may face, how they stand from a credit perspective, and choose the right funding that best fits their business, whether that's internal working capital or external lenders. For those of you who don't already, you can subscribe to us on all the major podcast platforms, and please do go back and listen to our complete back catalogue. Some fantastic episodes in there. Have a look through finance, accounting, tech, wider business speaks. There's all sorts of conversations going on. Only short each time, 20 to 30 minutes. Go and have a listen when you get the chance. Thank you for listening. To find out more about us, we are at capitalize.com, and we will see you again next week for 3 business news stories. Thank you again, Will.